welcome everyone to Citizens Climate University tonight. It's a weekly webinar program of Citizens Climate Lobby that provides CCL supporters like you and I with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics relating to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I'm your host, Brett Cease, CCL's Volunteer Education and Engagement Coordinator. And thank you tonight for being here on the specific topic of how to prepare for leading a meeting. And essentially, in this lesson, we'll go into detail about the special role that all of you are going to play as lobby meeting leaders and really highlighting how leads make sure that our teams go into the meeting with a plan and with everyone knowing how to work together to ensure a successful meeting. And with that, I'm going to introduce our co-host for this lesson tonight, Sabrina.
Thanks so much, Brett. I'm here in Ellicott City. If you hear some thunder and lightning, or you hear some thunder in the background, we're in the midst of another storm. So I first joined CCL in 2013 and just have become more and more engaged with all the stuff that it's just incredible resources that CCL provides. And I hope that you guys will be able to get something out of this meeting that we have tonight. And I'm so excited this year particularly because I'm finally bringing two of my own students to CCL, and one of them is a conservative and both of them are veterans. And I look forward to seeing as many of you as possible and also being able to hook up to my students. I teach online, so I actually don't get to see most of my students face to face.
Oh, thank you, Sabrina. And for a quick review, this lesson is really after a sequence that we've had that's our annual lobby training. You can see on this slide a quick review of what that sequence was, Lobby 101 through 401. So without further ado, let's jump right into tonight's agenda. We're essentially going to start with discussing the importance of being leads and why you are so invaluable for the organization. We're going to talk about some advice as you jump into leading with advanced planning suggestions. We'll then pivot to talking about some actual suggestions to consider as you are planning your meetings. We'll highlight specific transition examples to help keep your conversation on track. And then we'll give some final considerations before having a robust Q&A discussion.
Certainly the first thing we want to say is a big thank you. Leadership is so essential. We can't function well without it. And yet it's time consuming. And sometimes we must step out of our comfort zone in order to be a leader. I can't thank you enough for being willing to put yourself on the line and enable things to go well in our lobby meetings to the greatest extent possible. I'm grateful for all of your hard work. You truly are essential people, and we can't do without you. As you all know, we have a leadership vacuum in this country in 2018. If we are to reverse divisiveness and dysfunction we have today, we need ordinary citizens like you to step up and fill that vacuum. So thank you so much.
Here's to that, Sabrina. And I know speaking for a lot of us, we might be feeling just a little bit apprehensive as we're preparing to jump into our DC preparations. And that's a normal feeling. Remember, our advantage is that we're citizens. We're not professional lobbyists. So although, you know, you want to be professional in your meetings, you don't have to try to pretend to be a professional lobbyist. This is as true here as it is for our volunteers throughout the rest of the world. And so it's really important for you just to relax into your role and feel that you can be yourself, because that's where the magic happens, when you can do whatever helps you get into that place ahead of meetings. Part of really what I think, at least, sets CCL apart in the eyes of the congressional offices that we're preparing to visit is that we are ordinary people. We're authentic, we're humble, we're willing to engage offices as we are. And so at times, we need to accept that we'll probably make mistakes. So you'll make mistakes of your own, your teammates will, that's all right. There'll be things that your team will say that could have been said smoother or, you know, comprehensive fashion. And part of tonight's webinar is really how to handle this situation in the training. But above all else, just remember this, we're here to build relationships, so be human and embrace whatever happens during a meeting. And I'll pass it back to you, Sabrina.
Thanks so much, Brett. So in the short time that you're actually in the meeting, often 15 minutes to 30 minutes, how well you facilitate that meeting is important. So let's step back first of all and consider the big picture. So the big picture is this. You as meeting leader are well positioned to nurture and empower others. Make it one of your goals to mentor and nurture the lobby team so that they built the capacity to do this work. How does a meeting leader help others grow and empower them? The best leaders show faith in others. And that's what we're asking you to do. Having faith in others means that there are going to be some coachable moments. To feel empowered, people need to be in these situations where they can both succeed and fail, and where failure is part of our learning experience. As leaders, your role is to bring out the best in people. I know that sounds difficult, but it can be awfully empowering as well. You can do this during planning or practice, during the meeting, and after the meeting. So let's take a look at advanced planning. So advanced planning is simply the time you plan in advance of a meeting. First, note one really important step. You'll find out by 5 p.m. Thursday, June 7th, whether you are a meeting lead or not, because everybody should have received their lobby meeting plan by then. Okay, so remember, 5 p.m. Thursday, June 7th. If you do not get your schedule by 5 p.m. Thursday, June 7th, make sure to check your spam folder. Okay, so if it doesn't show up anywhere in either the spam or the inbox, then you should email us at schedules@citizensclimatelobby.org, and we'll get to the bottom of what happened. If possible, call your team that evening, you know, on June 7th or the beginning of June 8th to start coordinating. So this will enable you to set up a time for a conference call before people head to DC, and you might even get some discussion going by email. Very important to note is that you should call your congressional office and verify the building and room number. We don't want to miss a meeting by going to the wrong place. If there has been a change, be sure to let the other members know of the change in meeting location.
And last year there was some construction in Cannon. We've been told by our DC staff that's the only building last year there was any, that there isn't really anything to worry about this year, so there shouldn't be any worries there. And let's jump in, continuing on the advanced planning theme, into really doing some advanced formations here. I like kind of this skydive metaphor. So coordinating a team to really do advanced planning is really going to be up to you. You're going to have your own style, your own input, your own way of framing it. And planning involves getting to know your team's strengths and having background on CCL's relationship with this office that you're inheriting. Chances are, if you're the lead, you've probably already really developed a relationship in the past, but a fair number of actual meetings this year will be the first time for that leader in that office. So you want to use a plan that's applicable to the situation that you find yourself in during the meeting, and it's really going to be key to develop that plan ahead of time. A couple of tips on how you can develop that plan ahead of time. So Sabrina mentioned getting together on Zoom or another conference call or just one-on-one email discussion, you name it, ahead of time before you leave for DC. When you get to DC on Saturday, there's going to be 3 meeting rooms that are set aside and made available for lobby teams to practice. You can also find some common times throughout the rest of the conference this year. We're going to have another slide in a little bit on that. And then even on Tuesday, it's often helpful, since especially this year, everyone should only have 2 meetings, to actually maybe even gather 30 minutes ahead of time, brush up if you can, review the meeting so you're not rushing right in ahead of actually meeting with your congressman or your congresswoman. So, and again, we'll just kind of close this section with saying this. If you can't find a time that works for everyone on the team, it's also really important to give yourself permission to set aside a time that actually works for most people and go ahead and plan. We've all been in situations in the past where we're on an email chain and someone just is ghosting us and doesn't respond. If that's the case, don't feel like you have to gain 100% consensus as lead. It's entirely all right at a certain point for you to make the judgment to do the best with the people that have responded and be active with them. It might not be perfect, but it's still going to make a difference to your team to have that advanced conversation. So thanks for balancing that consideration. And let's just quickly give you a preview of the Omni Room. This is actually a little bit of a sneak peek from next week's webinar. But you can see here a map of the main schematics of the OmniShorm. This is our full Saturday schedule. You don't really need to know all of that, but just as a highlight of where to find those lobby meeting preparations, they're available again in the evening of Saturday. It's Cabinet, Diplomat, and Congressional. Here's Diplomat, here's Cabinet, and here's Congressional in this lobby meeting. So beyond that, what I was also mentioning this year is that we actually are implementing something new for the first time, and this is based on popular feedback that CCL has gotten as we've grown. Coordinating times during the conference breaks for full lobby teams really has become a more and more impressive feat. because there's all these countervailing meetings that people are trying to schedule around. So what we're trying to do this year is recommending that attendees reserve specific breaks during the conference to meet their lobby teams based on when your meeting is on Tuesday. So I'll just kind of help you interpret this chart. Again, everyone's probably only get two meetings, so you're not going to actually have to worry about each of these slots. But to see what conference break time is reserved for you and your team, here's how to interpret this chart. Begin by finding the time your lobby meeting starts on the left column on Tuesday. So let's say you have a 10:30 meeting. Well, perfect. That happens to be in this window right here, between 10 and 11 start time. So then what you do is just match it to the corresponding right column in that same row. So what that means then is if your lobby meeting starts in this hour, this is the designated break time that we're saying your team should try meeting. We know that there's other meetings planned, that we know that there's dinners planned with regions or action teams. Don't feel bad if this isn't going to work for your team, but hopefully this should steer clear for a lot of folks and make it easier for everyone to plan. So I hope that makes sense. I won't continue to get into the finer details of explaining each of these corresponding plans, but I'll pass it to you, Sabrina, and if anyone has questions on this slide, we'll make sure to field them at the end.
So let's review some of the ideas for advanced planning. First, to introduce yourself, send an email or better yet, call. We seem to get an overload of emails these days. So many people will tell me, I didn't see your email, or it got lost in all of my emails. So if you do not know the volunteer, then please spend a few minutes getting to know them. Taking the time to get to know them will help you determine what roles they might fill and develop trust in each other. Ask them to choose two or three options for meeting times. Possibilities are Friday, Saturday, or the designated times that Brett just reviewed. Ask what roles they prefer to fill. If they're new to CCL, then it might be a good time to review and explain the importance of each of the roles. Confirm that they receive their schedule, both the meeting IOs and meeting plans, if available, and ask them, because not everybody will have made a meeting plans, and ask them to review the information before the meeting session. You can still meet with a subset of the group more than once if they're available and interested.
Excellent. And I just put that link to tonight's slides in the chat window as well. It should be pretty straightforward. It's just cclusa.org/lobby lead. So you can follow along with us even here live time. Don't have to take too many notes that way. So let's jump in. Thanks so much, Sabrina, for suggestions for the actual planning session. What should we actually do when we get the team together? Now that we've actually talked about how to do that. Here are some suggestions for the ideal situation, but again, we realize that many of us are going to be scrambling to get ready, so any contact ahead of time is a good thing, and here's what we recommend is the general baseline. Always try to read through the full meeting notes from previous meeting minutes first, just to get a sense of where things stand. Even if you've been in the meetings the last couple of years, it's really helpful to review the main takeaways from the notes of the prior meetings and also the actual follow-up items that were said to the office, what would actually happen beforehand. That way we can pick up where we've left off with the last meeting. If there is a meeting plan submitted by the liaison, you're going to get that in your packet as well on Thursday, June 7th. You want to actually review that meeting plan with everyone as well. Discuss then the meeting plan strategy or create one based on what you inherit. Review the concept of a supporting ask with your team. Help them remember, you know, the difference between the primary ask, which is the same for all offices, and this kind of baby step or building block approach of supporting asks, moving them up the ladder of climate advocacy, and how you can best strategically use it for the conditions in that office. We use supporting asks, again, a little reminder here, we've been turned down by our primary ask as a way to continue to build that goodwill with the office. If it's not already specified in the meeting plan, then it's really going to be up to you as the lead to help lead the team settling on a supporting ask. And as a lead, you also want to facilitate the transitions throughout the whole meeting or make sure you're reporting somebody that's also good with this role verbally and with body language cues. And we'll get into that in just a little bit more, but a sneak peek, a verbal cue could be simple as this. Sabrina actually would like to tell you why we're here today and what we're asking for. Look, right there, I just cued next conversation. I kind of teed Sabrina up, if you will. And a body language cue could be as simple as turning and looking at someone. Or if you practice well enough, especially with your team ahead of time, your team might not even need cues at all. Do what feels right for you and your team in the situation. It's just really good to be mindful of this as you're thinking ahead. Another thing to consider is that there are some sample meeting outlines on Community. If you have time to review them with your team, then go for it. Again, this isn't necessary, but it's helpful if you're looking for that support. Then finally, during the planning meeting, what you want to also do is actually jump into assigning roles. We discussed this in depth in Lobby Training 201, so we won't go into it tonight. If your team settles into a plan, and essentially you and others feel good about it 24 hours ahead of your meeting, review it one last time and then actually condense it into a broad overview with bullet points, and you can actually send it even to the office ahead of time. Research that the Congressional Management Foundation has done really highlights that this approach is really beneficial for staff so that they know and can help prepare ahead of time as well. Again, this isn't necessary, and CCL is by no means expecting teams to do it. But just know if you're really on the ball, your team already knows what you want to do, and you want to kind of give that advance notice, it's something else that you can do to help send off that agenda early on. I'll pass it back to you, Sabrina.
Thanks so much, Brett. I just wanted to add to what Brett was saying about the different asks, because in addition to the primary ask, it's really a great idea to have a few secondary asks, because remember that humans do beings really like to say yes eventually. So anyway, let's right now review the different meeting roles. As a meeting lead, you should encourage everyone to participate in the discussion, but be flexible enough that if a staffer or member of Congress is clearly paying attention to one person in particular, have that person speak more than others. After all, we are betting the ranch on relationships. Even though everyone is encouraged to speak when they have something to say, it is also important to have at least these six roles assigned so that we don't forget the basics. Here is a quick refresher on the roles in each of the meetings. As you'll remember, we have the appreciator, the asker, the note taker, the timekeeper, the leaver, and the follower. Remember, your role as lead will be to assess your team's interests and skills and work together to assign coverage for each of these. Yeah, I just wanted to add that often for these aides, you can look them up in LinkedIn if you Google their names, along with the name of the member of Congress that they work for. You can often find out a little bit about them. And I think it's nice when you go into the office knowing a bit about them and start the conversation on common grounds. For example, one of the aides had gone to St. Mary's College of Maryland, which my daughter was at that time. So with a little bit of that and asking him about his St. Mary's experience, and this way we are able to connect on that human, connect in a human way rather than, here's a copy of me and dividend, please ask it.
Absolutely. Now that LinkedIn suggestion is a great idea, Sabrina. I think that's really worked well, and it'll impress them too that you've put the time in ahead of time to get to know them.
So we want to talk about what occurs before the meeting. So you've done all this, planning before. Now you're about to meet with your member of Congress or their staff, right? So please make sure that you ask everyone to huddle in 15 to 20 minutes ahead of time. And this way, if people are a little late, they still won't be late for actually getting to the meeting. So the suggested places to meet outside the hall or predetermined place, maybe a few offices down from the office where you're going to meet. So here are some things that you should review in that pre-meeting huddle. So first, just review the roles. You either assign them or sometimes you have to reassign them because, somebody fell ill or something like that. To go over the goals of the meeting, go over the primary ask and supporting ask or ask. Remind everyone to watch and listen out for cues. Remember, you as a meeting lead is a conductor, so you'll be giving them cues as Brett talked about. So people should be looking at each other for cues. A little later in the lesson, we'll discuss what to do if your constituent call in for your meeting. The pre-meeting huddle is a good time to check in with the constituents who will be joining you by phone. Finally, we want to walk in a few minutes early, but try to wait for everyone to show up. So now let's talk next about the meeting, what the meeting leader does during the meeting.
And we'll be super brief on this. We use this slide in almost every one of our lobby trainings. So I think the key thing here that everyone gets at this point is that the meeting lead is not having to be dominant throughout the whole meeting. They instead, like Sabrina said, if you're really effective, actually are hardly even noticed, and you're there to actually kind of step behind and conduct things smoothly. So at this point, again, that's including cues that we'll go over in a little bit, and also just making sure that everyone's present, cueing into what actually is being exchanged in the meeting, ensuring the constituents and the liaisons are heard from over other participants, and really being able to read body language of the actual staff or member of Congress to, you know, continue to build that connection.
I want to reemphasize something that Brett had just mentioned earlier, that really being present and being a good listener are essential to determining which parts of the plans, you know, you want to proceed at, which parts you need to scrap. Right? If people are clearly not interested in what you had planned to, you know, quote unquote, educate the staff or the member of Congress, scrap it. Okay, so now we'll start by demonstrating. So I'll start off by demonstrating how you might transition from a discussion to the end of the meeting. So we want to be always respectful of our time, right? So as we see that we're nearing the end of the meeting, you might want to transition with something like, Congresswoman, I see that we are nearing the end of our time with you today. So I'd like to recap and clarify our understanding of the obstacles preventing you from supporting our proposal.
And here's an example of basically how you might transition from showing an appreciation to stating our purpose a little bit later on in that meeting after everyone's had a chance to introduce themselves. You might say something like this. Congresswoman, I want to thank you for your recent efforts to protect citizens from identity theft or whatever your appreciation might be. And that's a really important issue to me. But today, we've come to discuss how we can actually partner with your office to create the political will for a livable world. Nice, simple, and straightforward.
Maybe it's the fourth time this, that you're meeting with this member of Congress or staffer. In that case, you might choose to skip the purpose and move straight to appreciation and into the primary ask. So here's what it might sound like if, for example, it's a Republican member of Congress and we've established a good relationship with. Something like, Congressman, I want to thank you for your recent vote acknowledging climate change. We're here today to talk about solutions and to ask you to introduce a bill that puts a steadily rising fee on carbon and return the net revenue back to American households. Are you ready to support such a proposal?
Another way to verbally signal a transition is actually just to state it explicitly and acknowledge it as you're actually using it as a transition. An example of how this might sound can go something like this. Congresswoman, I want to thank you for your recent efforts to support identity theft, but we're here actually to talk about a different topic. So Sabrina is actually going to let you know more about why we're here today and what we're seeking. And that example, I specifically signaled out Sabrina to make that transition and queued her up to make the ask.
So as a lead, you also need to bring the meeting back to when it veers off course. In Lobbying 401, we review some examples of how to get meeting back on track. So I encourage everyone to review that lesson. We will demonstrate one situation to you right now. In this example, Brett will play the member of Congress or staffer who goes off topic by discussing nuclear energy. And I will play the leader who acknowledges his comment and immediately circles back to why we're at the meeting.
Nuclear absolutely has to be a part of the conversation. It has to be part of what's on the table.
As an organization, we don't take a position on nuclear. We take a position on only one thing, placing a price on fossil fuel extraction to reflect its external cost to society and letting the market determine what's viable or not. Would you like to hear more about carbon fee and dividend as a viable economic solution to transitioning out of fossil fuels?
So really, as a meeting leader, you can see we're giving you a couple of actual transition examples. You can absolutely use your own. You don't have to follow any of these. But really, what we're trying to show with this advanced planning discussion is the importance of having situational awareness. We can't let our plans and preparations go on autopilot. And the important thing is if you practice ahead of time, even though you don't know what scenarios are going to play out, you'll be more prepared to pivot and actually respond to what's happening in the meeting. And as meeting lead, that's really going to be your responsibility to recognize when it might be appropriate to diverge from your initial plan or to go to plan B. I've definitely been in a lot of meetings where I've actually had three different plans, depending on how the first 5 minutes went. And then we were prepared to go with one of them, depending on what the actual read from the office was. So we refer to this, again, as situational awareness. It's the ability to perceive and understand what is happening in the moment and really being able to react to challenges as they occur. And good situational awareness, especially as a good lead, then means that you're not only listening to what's being said and kind of, again, getting drawn into the conversation, but also the tone of the voice and the body language, everything else. So one of the benefits of having a team, too, is that you don't just have to be the only one picking up on a particular cue. One of your other fellow lobbyists might very well as well. And so they can also do a follow-up question or redirect a derailed conversation. You don't have to be very tightly regimented and have only one person set to make that next supporting ask. It can be whoever is really ready at that point to be the responsive next initiator. I'll pass it back to you, Sabrina.
Thanks. I just wanted to add to what Brett said about situational awareness. For any of you who are raising teenagers, it's a great thing to learn to do. It'll really feel empowered as a parent as well. So, okay, we're going to talk about empowering others. So when we empower others, basically we want to be able to help everybody find their voice, right? So one of the situations that we have to think about is to look out for the quote unquote silent constituents, right? You may choose to encourage these silent constituents to speak out with verbal cues such as, Brett, I'd just like to pause a moment and see if there's anything you'd like to add at this point. So you're encouraging him to come out and speak, right? So what if someone on the team says something that is just flat out wrong? Rather than correcting them, try to say something like this. If I may, let me add to what Brett was saying. Your team will appreciate you for not correcting them or pointing out that they've forgotten something. What do you do if a CCL volunteer gets agitated or angry during the meeting? This is not common, but it has happened. Be prepared for it. Stay calm. Here's how it could play out. Brett will play an angry volunteer, and I will play the team leader.
It's you guys in Congress that can't get together and are making this worse while stalling.
Congresswoman, obviously we have very passionate people and we really are trying to work very hard to get something done on time. You were just saying that you don't think that that remaining the Paris Agreement would be effective. Could we share with you what we've learned about the effectiveness of carbon fee and dividend?
One last thing that we'll also mention on this is that the size of your teams is actually also probably going to vary throughout the actual lobby day in DC. And that is, you know, not that big of a deal. It could be two or three, like we've mentioned. It could be, you know, seven or eight, especially on the Senate side of things. And if it is just a couple of you, it's going to be important to make sure that you just have each of those roles still designated by multiple people filling probably multiple roles. Also, one other thing just to consider, you may run into a situation where somebody informs you that they're going to be running late. And coming in late is clearly going to disrupt the meeting. So the one thing that we want you to keep in mind as leads is that the only time you really want to volunteer to join a meeting that's already in progress, if they enter, you know, the office and they're not already there, make sure to let them know ahead of time that we really only want that to happen if they're a constituent. Otherwise, if they know they're going to be late, make sure to let your team know ahead of time that you'd actually prefer that they don't show up unless they're a constituent. Otherwise, politely thank them, you know, let them know, explain coming in late will disrupt the meeting and so forth, and you'll fill them in afterwards. So the final situation I want to review in preparation for DC meetings is when a volunteer from another region or state shows up for a meeting they're not scheduled in. So first of all, basically, you know, the key is using your discretion to make sure they're not just in the wrong place or ditching a meeting that they should be in, but, you know, also emphasize, given how much time and coordination that's put into the scheduling process and that others may have clearly also wanted to join that weren't able due to our lobby day only allowing two volunteers per meeting this year and filling up earlier than usual, just ask them for their interest and passion, but again, let them know that we already have plenty of people assigned to the meeting. Scheduling process was set up to structure each meeting fairly and so forth. Use your own discretion in handling that, but just be prepared in case it does come up. So let's move on to talking about what you should do immediately following the meeting. So we've talked a lot about the meeting. Let's just quickly recap the debrief situation. So in most meetings, you're going to have time right afterwards, especially if you only have two meetings on the Hill this year, between meetings to actually debrief and do a quality job of it as a team. In most cases, you're actually maybe even going to have an hour or two between that and your next meeting. So if somebody does have another meeting in 30 minutes, you know, feel free to let them go. You can catch them up afterwards. But the rest of the team really should quickly reconvene farther down the hallway or even down to the cafeteria to really debrief and share what they've noticed. It's really a kind of examination of the meeting, and the debrief could look simply something like this. The meeting leader could begin by talking about what they noticed, what well, and also take the opportunity to nurture or coach those other team members. Like Sabrina mentioned at the beginning, you as team leads are really the ones that can make those teachable moments and help, whether it's on one-on-one or with other just large group conversations, really help the team grow and learn from what just happened. You also want to make sure that the note taker just reads through the notes and actually kind of highlights what they've noticed with their actual shorthand at that point. You want to look back at the meeting minutes form and find the section titled Important Things to Capture. We're going to show that on a slide in a little bit. And if there's something missing from that reminder, that's the time to capture it as a team. And then really lastly, as the leader, you should, you know, verify plans for follow-up items. Anything that was promised in the meeting, you want to make sure that you actually have somebody assigned and you can actually, after the meeting and this debrief, several days even later, follow up to make sure it was done. Not only the dropping off of the thank you card and the meeting minutes being filed online, but any promises that were made to the office about resources to provide, communications or connections to make, you name it. The other thing that we'll mention this year on that front is that this year, Danny is actually available in the Senate side in the morning and the House side in the afternoon. So essentially, if you do have any questions or things come up and you even want to debrief with a staff member as a team, his availability in the morning is going to be in the Senate side below the below Dirksen and Hart in the cafeteria, and then in the Rayburn cafeteria in the afternoon by 1 p.m. So I'll pass it to you, Sabrina, to actually look at this meeting minutes form.
Okay, thanks so much, Brett. So as you can see in this minutes form, it's pretty self-explanatory, but there's two things that are worth mentioning. First of all, notice there's an area where you can enter the meeting number. This meeting number is on your schedule, as Brett showed you, as Brett will show you in just a few more slides than he mentioned before. So here's the cool thing. When you submit your meeting notes that includes a meeting number, every person in the meeting will receive the email with those notes. Okay, so you get your meeting number from your lobby schedule. The meeting number should go into where this green circle is here. So you get your meeting number from your lobby schedule. It's a 5-digit number in a black box on the top right-hand corner of the schedule for each meeting. Keep in mind that these are confidentials, not to be shared. Think of the trust that would be ruined if our meeting minutes got out there. So what we ask you to do is review the notes a final time, and then you can delete your email once you email the meeting notes to the central database or submit it into the meeting notes. So this is actually how you do it. So the main point is that you need to submit an electronic copy of your notes within 48 hours to the www.citizensclimatelobby.org/minutes. As team leader and lobby leads, please make a separate saved notes of the note taker's full name in case we need to locate the unsubmitted minutes. These meeting minutes are important documents that let us build momentum. So your attention to these details and your follow through in submitting them will help future lobby teams be successful. Thank you. As meeting leads, let's quickly talk about one last position statement. During the debrief, you're going to want to make sure and capture as accurate as possible the members' positions on both the policy, carbon TV and dividend, as well as the individual beliefs on climate change. So to track this over time, CCL has developed a 4-letter scale from A to D, with grades further up the alphabet actually indicating more favorable positions. That is, it's better to be a D than an A. In order to make your best, most accurate estimate, we hope that during the meeting you'll be able to get clarity on both of these positions during your primary ask for carbon fee and dividend throughout the overall conversation regarding climate position. So for carbon fee and dividend, A means they won't vote for it. B means that they may or may not. C means they would vote for it. And D means not only would they vote for it, but they would co-sponsor it. and of course is unknown. So similarly, climate position, if you're an AN climate position, you'd that even deny that climate is changing. Hopefully there isn't anyone left there at this point. B is climate is changing, but no human contributions. And C is climate is changing, and humans are contributed to it. And D is climate is changing, humans contribute, and Congress should do something about it.
We've got two last reviews of what you're going to get in your packets. And one of them is something called a TBD meeting, to be determined. So what do you do if you get one of those in your assignments? TBD, again, means to be determined. On your screen now, you're going to see an example schedule with a meeting marked as TBD. And I'll just quickly mark also, Sabrina mentioned, you know, entering your meeting ID number. That's always going to be in the upper right here. You can see for this sample meeting with Representative Steve King, the actual meeting ID for that one was right here. So if you're in a TBD meeting and you're the lead, you should contact the appointment center. We've, you know, anonymized the contact information here, but you can still see the name, and they're listed in the special notes section on the schedule. So here's the special notes section. In this case, here's the meeting lead. All right, so perfect. From there, you want to try to avoid the 2 p.m. Eastern time you are scheduling them, and you're going to reach out and still, at this point, inherit the responsibility while you're, you know, that last 5 days of scheduling. So 2 p.m. tends to be the meeting time that we actually have the most house meetings. If that's all you get, that's what you get. The other wonderful thing is you can see what your other constituents within that meeting's other commitments are. For the most part, hopefully you can get a gauge as the lead about who might be available when from looking at this bottom right corner for their other meeting times. The TBD meetings are intentionally overfilled, meaning that some people might have several of them. Hopefully this year we'll distribute them, given that we don't want anyone to have two TBD meetings. That won't be something that happens because we know that finally when that meeting is scheduled, some people will have conflicts. So you're going to get 7-8 people on that team. But again, not everyone has to make it. The remaining schedule for the rest of the team is displayed, like I mentioned, the bottom right column. And once that meeting is confirmed, the leader needs to inform the other teammates by form and email and text, even if you can, just to let them know as many ways as possible, and then check in the same way we've mentioned about meeting planning. And why three, you might ask? You know, in DC, you can't depend on having good cell service. Some folks don't text, and some folks hate email. So with three different ways, hopefully you're going to meet them where they're at. And if you're contacted by the team lead of another TBD meeting, please respond as soon as you can, as you well know. So what about delivery-only meetings? All right, so that's the same view of a schedule, but you also might have something that says delivery-only. In this case, what it means is we didn't get a meeting with this office, and there should be two people listed directly to make this delivery. We don't expect in this situation to actually get a drop-in appointment by showing up and just inviting yourselves in for a sit-down. But if you're really friendly and, you invite yourself in, there's always the story of last November, a couple of CCL members, including Kathy Orlando, made a delivery to Puerto Rico's office, and the commissioner of Puerto Rico, Jennifer Gonzalez-Colon, was just walking by and said that they'd give those folks an appointment right now. And guess who joined on the Climate Solutions Caucus but Commissioner Jennifer Gonzalez-Colon. So if you do show up with a smile as big as theirs, anything can happen. And again, just call the other person, plan a time to deliver the drop-off materials with the staffer listed on the schedule. And what we do want to make sure to include in that drop-off is our primary ask handout. You get that in the conference folder in DC. You don't have to print extras of those out unless you want. And then any constituent letters that you can pick up at the table. And those will all be made apparent. We'll show you where to find those at the conference. Now, for every meeting that is labeled delivery only or to be determined or even canceled meetings, we still want to make sure that you make a delivery of materials and submit meeting minutes. So both of those still need to happen, even if it isn't a formal meeting. It's really critical for us to get all of our touches across all 541 offices on the Hill. That's including all the territories, as well as the District of Columbia. And for those also covering delivery-only meetings, if you need extra materials to drop off, then just check in the registration desk when you sign in, and you'll get extra printouts for anything.
you might get a schedule with the constituent call-in, okay? So if that's noted on the schedule, the leader should definitely conference the constituent in to the meeting by phone. As soon as you can, reach out to the constituent to confirm the availability. Decide with them what role they want to play and when you will call them. Make sure to clarify, confirm that the meeting will take place in Eastern time zone and adjust the time for them if they're in a different time zone. When the meeting starts, confirm with the office that it's okay for the constituents to join by phone and use your cell phone to call and put the call on speaker. You shouldn't ask to use the Member of Congress phone if they offer, it's okay to accept. Involve the constituents as appropriate. You may want to pause or cue them in before having them jump in. So remember that cell service on Capitol Hill is spotty, so don't get flustered. Just if you can't connect, just roll on. So related to this is that we should remember constituent call-in day. So before we go to the Hill on June 12th, we want members of Congress to remember that their constituents really do care about climate change. And that's why we have call-in day this year, Wednesday, June 6th, to amplify a voice and help move Congress closer to passing our legislation. And please pass this on. So you should be calling, your chapter should be calling, your friends should be calling, your family should be calling, your neighbors should be calling, okay? So let's get as many people to call as possible.
Here is Sabrina and I's contact information. I'll put that in the chat window in just a little bit. If you have any questions that we didn't get to tonight, make sure to email us. We'd love to follow up. Sabrina has been a veritable wealth of information, and I'd love to support any questions as well. And I'll pass it to you, Sabrina, to close with a quote from Representative Corbello, and then we'll go back to the phones for another 10 to 15 minutes.
Thanks so much, Brett. So Carlos Corbello, co-founder of the Bipartisan Climate Solution Caucus, said in a recent E&E News interview, CCL supporters approach is all constructive all the time. And they're not just advancing the cause of a sound environmental policy. They're also contributing to improving the nature of our politics in this country, which is sorely needed. Thank you for being instrumental to bringing about this constructive dialogue, again, to both parties, and for being on the call tonight. We hope that you found tonight's webinar to be useful, and we look forward to seeing everyone in DC.
Excellent. Thank you, everyone.